I'm glad to be here this morning.
Amen.
Amen. It's better than the jail, the hospital, the nursing home. Amen. Amen. There was a time that I didn't want to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
How many is with me this morning?
Amen.
You know, I didn't want to go to church.
That's right.
You know, it was the last place really I wanted to be honest with you. You know, I enjoyed what I was doing at that time. I enjoyed, you know, there was times I didn't enjoy living behind people's houses and in their driveways. And, you know, you said, well, yeah, I lived on the streets, yeah. Anybody enjoy that? You know, have you ever been out there when it's rain and it's cold and it's starting to snow? You know, you learn to appreciate things. Amen.
Amen.
And your source is the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. People have all kinds of things, and I'm going to try to get to my message here. But, you know, years ago, when I was about 17, you know, it hadn't been too long ago. people tried to get me to work at this place up here in Woodstock. It's a plastic company on Highway 5. Before you get into Woodstock, or what used to be Woodstock, is Woodstock, I don't even know what you call it now. But I grew up in Woodstock. Mom and Dad moved there February of 1968, and there was nothing there, and I used to ride the roads. And, you know, I remember when I was 12 years old, I had no sense of the Spirit, but I had a knowing of the Lord that He loved me. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? I went to church, you know, but I remember, and I can take you to the place. When I hit 12 years old, I had me a 3-speed bicycle that I had worked and paid for, mowing lawns and stuff like that around in the subdivision that I was at. And my mom was bedridden for most of my time of my life. And, of course, she's not now. And I had went down to Dunaway Drugs down there on Highway 5 years ago, when it used to be Dunaway, and it changed to Eckers and so forth, and bought me this AM-FM radio that mounted. It was a big old AM-FM radio that mounted right on the handlebars, right in the center, to tighten it up. But when I was 12 years old, I was riding up the top of the hill where I was at, around and around, and there was a sewer pipe about this big, and I'd hit it and bounce in there. And I remember the Lord speaking to me, and He told me my wife was born. And I remember riding around and around and around and around laughing. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm 12 and my wife was born. You know, it just didn't kind of comprehend. You know, the Lord speaks to us in a lot of directions. We just don't listen.
Come on.
Yeah.
And when we do listen, we have this one term called acceptance. Mm-hmm. And the acceptance that we have is of the world, if it worked for us. And then the acceptance of what God says, because it don't add up. So we turn back to what everybody else says. And when we lead down that direction, let me just ask you this one word before I get in a little further. When that happens, has it worked for you? And let's just leave this here. How many times have you tried to do what everybody else has said and it's worked? But it got awful quiet there a second or two. So we already know the outcome. But our minds and our spirit, we still depend on the world. How many has made a lot of money and had nothing, and made little money and had a lot?
Yeah.
Don't add up, now does it?
No.
So, I'm not here to talk about money. I'm here to talk about the Lord. I'm here to tell you that the direction Come on. When you wait upon the Lord, when he said in Psalms 40, we talked a little bit about it, and I'm going to try to just go over it just for about 5 minutes. When we wait upon the Lord, and we begin to wait upon him and let him give us the direction, as David said in Psalms 40, and I waited upon the Lord, and he heard my cry. It doesn't say how long David waited, but David waited a long time, I'm assuming, because then the Lord set his foot upon a rock and did what? Gave him direction. But we choose the ways of the world because the things that God tells us never adds up.
That's right.
Why? I can tell you why. Because if you can fix it, you'll do what? You'll fix it. You'll try to fix it. You'll try to make it happen. Somebody comes along, prophesies to you, well, the Lord said, I'm going to get me a new car. First thing we do is go out there and start kicking them tires, looking for that car, don't we?
Yeah.
I remember one time I got prophesied to, I was going to get some land, and boy, I was out there, I started riding them roads. You know, the prophet of the Lord said, I'm going to get me some land. So I went out there and got in this one place way off in the hill, down in a mountain down in there, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm looking for me some land. And he said, the Lord said, well, did I tell you to? Well, the prophet of the Lord said that, Lord. He said that you said, believe the prophets and you shall prosper. So I'm believing what you said for me to do. And the Lord said, but did I tell you to? And the Lord said, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm getting in my truck and going home. There is a timing for everything.
Yeah.
And lots of times we go ahead of the Lord because we want it now.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Our flesh man wants everything now all the time.
Amen.
If you want a Coca-Cola bad enough, you'll find somebody and borrow some money, or you'll do something. You'll go get it. If it's in the refrigerator and there's 10 Twinkies in there, you'll go in there and you'll get them things, and you won't stop at one. You'll just keep eating.
Amen.
Wow. Come on. The flesh man has to come up under the subjection of the Spirit. What the problem is we war all the time because there's no prayer life in us. Because when you pray and you seek the Lord, and even then, it's a hesitant thing. We're trying to, you know, I just know this is going to happen. You know, we just got that thought in our mind. Maybe the Lord's bringing us this way. But most of the time, he's teaching us to submit up under him. Amen. And to hear his voice. Amen. So that we can be able to be blessed. Amen. So, as we walk with him, the Lord gives us instruction on each thing. Can I have some water if I can? Anybody can get me some water? Each time, I'm supposed to be in Rock Mart tonight, and I'm thinking, God, how am I going to do this? But each time the Lord gives us a word, whether it be prophecy, or whether it be word of knowledge, or whether it be something that the Lord has spoke directly to you, you need to wait on instructions. Amen? If the Lord, when he went to the cross, if he died on the cross under conditions, we'd all be in bad shape, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We'd all be in bad shape. The only thing that makes us righteous is him that lives in us. Amen? That's it.
Good.
I'm not giving anybody license to go out and sin and do what you want to. But as long as you're in this mortal body here, you are going to do things. Is it okay if I say it?
Amen.
You're
going to
do things that you don't want to do.
Amen.
And have to repent about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like I'm crazy, people.
Right.
I'm not no spiritual than you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put on my pants just like you do. I have thoughts just like y'all do. Brother Frank.
Wow.
Come on. But when you don't pray, here's what you do. You're going out. But when you begin to pray, you begin to see. You get 20/20 vision in the area that you're going. Doesn't mean that you've got it all, but when that area comes up, then everything opens up. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Everything opens up. That's why David said, "And I waited on the Lord, and he heard my cry. He brought me out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit." In other words, the horrible pit is the outhouse. In other words, in Isaiah 55, he says, "Your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." In other words, he thinks more highly of you than you think of your own self.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? So when you look in the mirror, you can rebuke it all you want to. But you still got to do something to take care of it. Amen? You still got to comb your hair. Now, hopefully some of us do. And brush our teeth, you know. All that good stuff. So what happens is David waited and he gave him instruction. Now I call this realm that is the outer court, which is called the asking realm. That's what I call it. It's the asking place. Why is it called that? Because when you go before the Lord, you know, a lot of people go before the Lord, they don't even sing to him. Let me tell you something. If you've been married or if you've had children, what's the children do if they want something, the first thing they want?
Buttering you up.
That's exactly right. They know how to do it, even if they've been ugly.
Right.
They know how to change your mind. How many know when you come to him and you begin to just say, "Lord, I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to offer you, Lord. Here I am. I stand before you with nothing. I don't know how to do anything. I don't even know, Lord, if I'm praying the right prayer. I don't even know, Lord, if you've heard me." And you know, I get on my lawnmower. You know, I'm not super spiritual. I don't claim to be. But I'll get on my ride lawnmower and I'll start singing to him, "Lord, you're all I need." Anybody's ever heard that old song?
Yes.
"He's all I need. Oh, he's all that I need. He's all that I will ever, ever need." And let me tell you something. When you start singing to him, the Spirit of the Lord will come on you and just start worshiping up and down you. And then you start telling him how much you love him, buttering him up. Whether you love him or not. You know, lots of times we get cheated because we think because we sin that he doesn't hear us.
But he does.
But he does. So the enemy comes in to try to tell us we're not worthy. We're not worthy enough for him to do anything for us. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Well, let me tell you something. The only thing that makes us righteous is him that lives in us. And if we've asked him to come in our heart, then we are worthy. We have to repent daily. Amen? But when we come to him and we begin, you know, when I need an answer from the Lord, because you know a lot of people can say a lot of things. They can tell you a lot of things and even lie to you to your face. But if you don't know the Spirit, you'll believe what they say. Amen? If you don't know them, because see, when I meet you, I don't meet what you have on, or how much money you have, or how many cars you've got, or whether you've got one house or two houses, or whether you live in a single wide or a double wide or a big home or a big driveway. I meet your spirit.
Yes.
We drink of each other's spirit. That's what the Word says.
Right.
And each time that happens, amen, and we should be aware of what's going on in our surroundings, amen, we should do a checkup from the neck up and listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says. Because let me tell you something, He's on your side. Amen? He's not here to harm you. He's not here to hurt you. He's not here to destroy you or to beat you up with a baseball bat to tell you what you've done. The Lord never called me to straighten people out, people. I got enough straightening out when I look in the mirror. I'm like, my God, did you really do that? What in God's name is wrong with you? So, the Lord loves you this morning with an unconditional love. And you know something? You can't stop Him from loving you. Even if you wanted to, you can't.
That's good. Thank you.
Amen? Because, see, we already know what we need to do. He's just waiting on us to do it. Amen? He's waiting on us. So how do we get to that place for Him to do that? When we start to pray and we enter into that holy place where I'm going to, that's what we're going to do this morning. What happens is He changes your mind. And He gives you a hunger that you can never get rid of.
Amen.
Talking about the Twinkies. You want more.
Yes.
Got to go back to that refrigerator.
Yes.
In other words, you got to get down. And say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I need something more that You've got. Amen? I need something more. Something more than what I'm getting. Let's run over here to Psalms 41. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So each time you go before the Lord in this holy place, what happens is you begin to get thirsty. You want to draw more out of that well.
Yes.
I may as well drink out of a well. You can't get enough of that water, can you?
Yes,
it's just it ain't like the city water. You go down in there and pull it up and it's already cold. You don't even need no ice cubes.
Right.
Even the glass, we had these little metal glasses when we was growing up, the little skinny tall glasses. I love drinking out of that metal glass. I don't know, there was something about that metal glass and the water, I don't know what it was, but I couldn't get enough of it. Even just a little bit of it, go back and get more. It's the same way with the Lord. When you get into this place, He changes your mind. He begins to reveal Himself to you. He begins to give you the understanding and the counsel, amen, that you need to be able to move on into other things. But no, that's good this morning.
Amen.
So when you get into that place, remember me talking about Pharaoh's army. When they crossed over the Red Sea, two things happened. First of all, the enemy that was tormenting them could never torment them anymore. It was gone. The Lord destroyed them. They could no longer be. So, in this scripture, what happens, we got any deer hunters in here this morning? Any deer hunters? What happens when a deer crosses over a water brook and you got dogs? What can the dogs cannot do? They can't pick up the scent. So here it is. The enemy cannot come into this place. Because it can't cross over. Because it's unclean. Once you get into that holy place, that doesn't mean that you're purified. It just means you've entered into another place in the Spirit with that thing that was tormenting you. Amen? Because, see, if you're growing into the things of God, what's happening is the things that were here are no longer. Amen? Like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's going down. Yea, though I walk through the what? The valley of the shadow of death. The things that once were are a shadow. I will fear no evil. So you've entered into another place in the spirit. Well, those things are a shadow now. I will fear no evil because they can't harm me. You ever see a shadow come and fight you and knock you in the face? Can't do it, people. Even if you argue with it, it still can't do nothing. So what happens is we come into another place of the realm of the spirit where it cannot, the enemy cannot pick up your scent no more. You notice people start scattering. The people you start serving the Lord, the people that once was with you are not with you no more. And if you notice, if you try to go back, there ain't none of us try to go back. I know y'all ain't like me. You know, go back. And the people that were there are not there no more. They're gone. Is it clicking? The joy, the season is gone. It can't, you can't get it. You can't.
Right.
It's not the same.
Preach it.
It's not the same season. That season is gone. The feeling is gone. And you can't figure out why you can't get that high anymore.
That's right. Come on, preach it.
I'm the only one, huh? We haven't got a witness back yet.
Yeah.
So see, what happens is, I know this is good this morning. Amen. So when you enter into this place, here's what happens. I call people, how many of you ever seen people that's on fire for God, and the next time you see them, they're kind of distraught and weary and don't know where they're going?
Yeah.
I call them an egg without substance. Because they appear as an egg, but lack the power thereof. So what happens is, you've got to stay in that place and let the Lord reveal to you Himself. How many of you have been down to the ocean? Anybody? How many of you ever walked out in it just a little bit, walked out just a little bit in it, and it kind of comes right below your knees, but almost top your knees? How many of you ever just stood there? Does anybody know what happens if you just stand there? Huh? Because of the what? The water keeps
coming in and out.
And if you stand there long enough, it'll keep coming up, right? If you stand at one place, it just keeps rising. And rising, and pretty soon it's almost over your head, ain't it?
Yeah.
So you got to move out of the way. It's the same way with the Lord. The longer you stay in that place, I'm not talking about on your knees and beaten down, but I'm talking about having the mind of the Spirit. Staying in that place, in that holy place, and as you stand there, a lot of people, they'll jump out of that thing before it's time. And they'll go out there on fire for God, and the next time you see them, they're like a wilted prune, you know? But if you stay in that place, that's where you endure from power from above.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Now, this may seem like it's unreachable, but it's not. You can say a 10-minute or a 5-minute prayer and move mountains. You can get into these stages of prayer just because you've entered into a realm of the Spirit, amen, that opens up all avenues. The Bible says every step we take is ordained by Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So what happens, though, after you have, like David did in Psalms 40, after you've been born again, now, I'm not trying to get people to believe like what I believe or to do anything like I've done, but let me tell you something. If you stay in that place with the Lord after you've been born again and you have a prayer life with Him, you should be seeking for the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's a leader and teacher and guider in all things. He said, when I leave, I will not leave you comfortless. Amen?
Right.
In Matthew. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you in all things. And without the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit cannot move.
Preach it. That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, does that mean you won't make it into heaven? No, you'll still make it into heaven. If you don't want it and it scares you that bad, you don't have to. But I don't know about you. I want more of God. I want more of what He's got. I've done half the ways of the world. I've done walked the ways of the world. I've done worked the ways of the world. And I never could get on top. Never could.
That's right.
I'd get above and then I'd sink way below. I'd come back, get my head up above the ground, and that's as far as I'd go. Anybody with me this morning?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you walk with the Lord, you cannot listen. And here's where we get in trouble. We start listening to everybody. Mm. And what happens is that we listen to, it drops down in our spirit. You ever hear somebody just talk negativity all the time?
Yeah.
Never talk anything good. Now, I'm not talking about being positive people walking around and naming it, claim it, nab it, and grab it, because I'm not a nab it and grab it or a name it and claim it preacher, but I am. And I said, well, that's controversial. Yes, it is. I can't have it if the Lord says I can't have it.
That's
right. But if He says I can have it, I'm going after it. That's it. Fine, I'm going to nab it and grab it.
Yes.
That's right.
Good.
But if you don't know what's yours, you can't nab it and grab it and claim it and wrap it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You've got to know what He's told you. Yeah. I've had the Lord tell me to go down to car lots. I've needed vehicles before. I think I've given several of my testimonies in here. I've got a bunch of them. I had one year I went down. The Lord told me to go down here on Bankhead Highway. And I thought, my God, that's nearly 80 miles away. And the Lord said, well, you're going to go. You're going to sit at home. I said, well, I'm going. I went down there in a car that was bloppity blop and flappity flap and wiggly, you know, I'd do this going down the road. You ever have one of them cars?
Wore out.
Just wore slap out. And I thought, Lord, I need something for the ministry. I need to be able to travel. And I got down there and the Lord spoke to me. He said, go in there. That man's going to co-sign. You're going to drive home in a brand new truck. Well, you know, I'm like y'all. I'm like, what? Yeah, right. That's really going to happen. You know, right? I ain't going to one think that, right?
You know?
Amen.
Well, I went on in there, and I was eating around here. He come walking around. We got talking. About 2 hours later, we were sitting at the desk, and he was doing my credit check, and he was shaking his head. He said, well, you know, I don't know why, but I'm going to co-sign for you to have this truck. Man didn't even know who I was. I've had them buy them from the sales. I went down one time one year. I needed a vehicle, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need one that don't leak oil. The transmission change is good, right? I need one with air conditioning. You know, I get so mad because years ago I'd have to be so specific about everything I'd pray. You know, what do you want? He'd ask me, says, what do you want? I'll give it to you. And I said, you know, if I didn't ask for electric windows, I still had the roll-up windows. Well, you know, it really didn't mind, but the Lord was teaching me. He was teaching me at that time. He was guiding me. And I went down there, Dallas sales, I think it was years ago, or days or something. I don't know. It was on Dallas Highway then, and they had this four-wheel drive Ford Ranger down there. And I took my little bottle of anointing oil and sit in the pastor seat and anointed it. I had barely $500. The man wanted $4,500 for the truck. Well, I didn't have that kind of money. Let me tell you something. When the Lord tells you to do something, you ain't got the means to do it.
Come on. Come on.
And if you're expecting it to fall in your lap, You need to change. Let the Lord help you change your mind, because He's got to direct you in the way to go. And I went down there, and I prayed, and I was driving an old beat up old Buick Century. And I tell you what, I took the valve covers off and I just put them back down on it. I don't know how the thing was running because it didn't even look like no oil was coming up. And I'd raised the hood. Y'all ever see it lightning outside? Y'all ever see wires just shoot everywhere? You know, at night you can see. You know, I didn't have enough money to buy a wire set. Ain't nobody in here been there besides me. And I was traveling. I don't know how the Lord kept that thing going. But I got down there and anointed it, and I was driving. The Lord gave me a beautiful job. Oh, pumping toilets for a living. Woo! $6 an hour. I thought I was rich. Paying my tithes. Ain't nobody's had no hard times like that. You know? Well, long story short, I come up on Monday, and my beeper went off, and I went home that Monday after work, and I come home, and the devil told me, and I thought it was the devil, and I was renting a room, and the devil, I thought it was the devil, and he said, that truck's sitting in the front yard, and I thought, oh, you devil, you get off of me, telling me that that truck, really, that truck is sitting in my front yard, really. And I'm going down the road rebuking the devil. Get off me. Quit telling me that every time. You know? And I thought, oh, you think he's going to lie to me. And tell me that truck's in the front yard. And here I pull up in the yard and there it said. Brother Mike come out of there and he said, did you go get that? He said, no, I've never met this man in my life except that one time at the sales. And he worked for Lockheed. And that man said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to Paulding County Bank, and you got to come up there, and we're going to sign the papers, and I'm going to keep the insurance as my name. He didn't even know me. Kept the insurance in his name for me to have the truck. Now, I didn't have to have that truck. I told the Lord I didn't have to have that truck. Well, I drove it, and I thought, well, Lord, you know, wouldn't it be better for me to sell the car? You know, my logical thinking. Because I don't know how I'm going to get this truck paid for. Wouldn't it be better, reason with the flesh, to sell the car and put the money on the truck and get it paid off? Because that's a lot of money for it. $500, a lot of money to me. And the Lord said, no, I want you to get the car away. And I thought, Lord, who's going to want that car? I don't want to get the car away to somebody because they're going to have to work on the thing. Well, the Lord told me who to give it to, and I told Brother Mike, and we rode over there to it. And this woman was up in years, and she had her two children, her daughters and her son was on drugs, and she got got the grandbabies, and she had no way of going. That woman rode around in the yard for 2 hours, praising God, lifting her hands up, screaming, dancing all over the place, and I thought, Lord, I hope this really is a blessing. But she praised the Lord for 2 hours. She had nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. I got in that truck and the Lord told me, he said, I'm going to pay this truck off quick. See, he's given us instructions. Most of the time it's not going to be your way. If it's going to be your way, you're going to get the highway. Anybody ever heard that?
Yes, sir.
And a lot of us still taking the highway and ain't got nowhere.
That's right.
You ain't stopped. Amen? So the moral of the story is this. I drove for almost 8 months in that truck, and I kept reminding the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't afford this payment. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, well, who's making the payment? You or me?
Man.
Are you doing? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See, we think we do it. Well, I'm glad you are. I hope it keeps working. And as I kept on and praying, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I am going to call you to pay this truck off quick. And I went down. I had just pulled on Mars Hill Road, 41 in Mars Hill Road, and my beeper went off from the office, and I called the office. And they said there was a lawyer that called me. The only thing I think of, oh my God, all my doctor bills. I don't know what they're repossessing, but they ain't nothing to repossess now. Ain't nobody been there but me. But the moral of the story is I went down and seen the lawyer down there on Austell Road, and Maximum Road where it turns in, there's a lawyer's office down there. I don't remember the name of it, but I went down there. I used to go to the Branson Homes years ago and pick the guitar and sing, play the piano and so forth, do a lot of praise and worship songs. You know, now I play a viola in an orchestra and so forth. And that man did not know why. I've never met this man. I would never thought a lawyer would be hanging out at an old folks' home. But I guess he was there seeing his son, I mean his dad or somebody, and he turned around. He had tears just coming down his face. And he was crying. And I thought, my God, what's going on? And I asked him, I said, sir, are you okay? And he says, the Lord told me to write you out a check. And I said, what? He said, here's the envelope. And he was crying. He was just sitting there just crying like a baby when I left out of that place. And I got in the truck and opened up the envelope, and there was $3,500 written out to me. Never met this man in my life, didn't know who he was, but the Spirit of the Lord was on him.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I've never seen that kind of money in my life. I got Brother Gary to go to the Wells Fargo Bank, well, it was Wycopia then. We'd never seen so many $100 bills in our life. When we drove all the way, we thought we'd get robbed or mugged or something, and we was in Powder Springs, and we drove all the way to Paulding County Bank. Well, why doesn't that happen to me? Anybody ever ask that question? Why doesn't that happen to me? Well, let me tell you something. When you finally get sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing your own thing, it'll happen to you. Amen? Miracles will happen for you. Amen? But as long as you're trying to fix the things that need to be fixed, you can't fix those things that need to be fixed, because if you could, you'd fix them. But when you stay in that holy place, in that place with Him, He changes your heart. He changes your mind so that you're able to see clearly with 20/20 vision. Amen? But as you stay in that holy place and you begin to seek for the Holy Ghost, then the gifts of the Spirit will come. Amen? Without that, without the Holy Ghost, the Bible says not everybody speaks in tongues.
That's right.
Amen? So you don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost.
No, you don't.
A lot of people think they do. You ever get up and pray, you got it. I got what? But I got you trying to knock me down. I ain't got nothing. Well, you just need to go fast. Well, I done fasted. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I didn't even believe in it, people. I thought it was a bunch of phony baloney. How many's with me this morning?
Yes.
Thought it was a bunch of garbage. And I did. I told the Lord, it's a bunch of phony baloney. And that night, I fasted and prayed for almost 6 months. And I was praying sometimes. I was fasting 2 weeks at a time because I wanted it. I didn't care what anybody thought about me. Mm-hmm. See, the hunger is not in the church anymore. When people get hungry, revival will break out.
That's right. Yes.
We want revival to happen, but nobody's praying. Don't expect revival to hand out. You know, they don't want me down here at some of these revival churches. I'll get up and tell them just to close down and go home.
Amen. Amen.
Well, amen. Don't think I won't do it, because I've had the Lord start tell me to stop and tell people to. I remember one time years ago, I was on my way to church, and the Lord said, no, I need you to go up here. I drove 80 miles to this crazy church.
Yeah.
I was so mad. And the Lord said, go behind the church. There's two people gone back to the Baptist church. Now, get me wrong, I'm not here knocking denomination, but they had went back to the Baptist church because they got hurt and they won't be using the gifts no more, because what happened, they were being used in the gifts of the Spirit, and it didn't come to pass, and they got hurt, and so they thought, well, I'm quitting. And they was back there arguing. Sure enough, there they were in the back of the church in the parking lot arguing. The Lord said, go tell them to go back home.
Amen.
And they stopped and looked at me like I didn't know what I was talking about. And I told them, I said, y'all need to quit arguing and go back to where you were supposed to go. Go back to your church, because that's where you're going to be taught. You don't think the Lord is sending somebody. Somebody is praying, people. Somebody is seeking God. Somebody that's fasting and seeking the Spirit of the Lord.
Oh, amen.
Amen. So, if when I didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, I told the Lord it was a bunch of phony baloney. I had fasted about 6 months, off and on. And I told the Lord that. And I was about tired of it. And this one, I went to one service, and I was looking for this Baptist preacher. You know, y'all heard me tell some of the stories about it. But I was looking for this Baptist preacher, big old belly, black Bible under his arm, black tie, you know, or some, you know. You know, they have their ties that come up to here. They never go down to here, you know. Now, I'm not some Baptist people. I go in there occasionally and preach. And sometimes they'll ask me that. It's all depending. So I always tell them, I said, y'all mind if I bring my snakes? They said, what? I'm sure I do that, see their response. But what happens is that this woman was ministering. I didn't know she was a preacher, and I didn't believe in women preachers. You know, the Bible says in the last days, your sons and your daughters will what? And your young men shall have what? Visions. And your old man shall have what? Why would he give the old man dreams? He reversed it.
Good.
The young man supposed to be having the dream. Getting married, going to college, trying to support himself. Come on.
Good.
See, nobody looks at that. In the last days, he will give old man dreams. So why would he give an old man a dream? Well, that's somebody old in the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. It takes years to get seasoned.
Come on. That's right.
And we learn as we go. Not all of us has got it. It takes all of y'all to get to where we need to go.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Somebody has a vision. Somebody has a dream. Somebody's prophesying. But see, if you don't believe in these gifts of the Spirit, don't worry. You won't get it.
That's right.
Amen? If you don't believe in it, and you don't want it, and you don't think that's somebody else, well, then guess what? You can stay where you're at, and I hope you're happy. But I bet you're not. I bet you're miserable, and I bet you're still trying to do the same thing you've been doing for years, and nothing's accumulated or nothing's happened for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So, to get hungry for the things of God, it goes back to the basics. The basic of the basic. Prayer. Well, I pray. No, you accept. I mean, I heard me talk about that this morning. You accept the ways of the world. You accept the things of God if it works and fits in your category. Getting quiet in here this morning. And you had rather believe what the Lord, what the people are saying. They'll tell you right now, oh, the judge done told you that, brother. The judge done told you that. I've been in front of the judge changed his mind. He's shaking his head. He's sitting there trying to figure out what he's trying to do.
Yes.
Shaking his head and looking and trying to, you know, just let it go. The next. Come on.
Wow. Yes.
The Lord says when we go before a priest, high priest, amen. Amen. That he would change things. Amen. Hallelujah. So when I began to seek for those gifts, she pulled me out. Somebody's getting something this morning. Hallelujah. And she pulled, I started leaving. I got out the door about like this, not a big old place, not real big. Got out the door and she said, sir, come up here, I want to pray for you. And everybody looking at me. I thought, well, I will go. And I went up there. She started walking around me. And, you know, I think, my God, what's this woman doing? You know? She comes by and whispers in my ear and she said, it's a bunch of phony baloney. You've been seeking for the Holy Ghost. That night, I was in there, and when she told me that, laid hands on, I was like, well, just pour it on me. You know, I done had enough. Just pour it on me. Just put it on me. I had a bad attitude about it because I had fasted and I prayed. And I was tired of it. I mean, been there. Got tired of it.
Amen.
She laid hands on me and put her hand right there. Wow. I was speaking in tongues, dancing in the spirit, going around the aisles, in between the aisles. And I'd stop and say, I started prophesying to her. And I thought, my God, what did I just do? But see, I had to be taught. I had to be taught. And let me tell you something. When these gifts come, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. This one person came up after about a year. The Lord was using him, the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, really well. The Lord was showing people's keys, their numbers on their keychain, down to the addresses where they lived at. And there was no internet then. You know, I can't go over here. You live in so-and-so. You ever seen anybody do that? Oh, I have. I went up there and I told him too. I did, big preacher. I went up there and I told him, if you don't stop, your ministry's going down. The Lord told me, and he laughed at me. Well, his ministry's gone.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not here to ridicule or tear anybody down. But I'm going to tell you something. This woman came up for prayer, and I seen everything about her. But guess what the Lord said? Don't prophesy to her. Well, you know what I did? Because I had the gift. Oh, yeah. Yes. 6 months rolled around. I was on the floor rolling, literally, crying. Didn't feel the presence of the Lord. Didn't feel anything, nothing. No word. I went to different prophets meeting hoping somebody would pull me out. Something would happen. Nothing would happen because pride rose up. Because I had the gift. And this one man pulled me out after 6 months. He told me to come up front, and he said, brother, the Lord said you've learned your lesson, but the Lord said you'll only speak what I speak, and if you don't speak what I speak, he said, I will cut you off. That's a word there, brother. Because let me tell you something. You don't fool around with the gifts of the Spirit because you've got... And I've seen people pimp the church with it. And there's one here in Canton. And he knew and I knew and I went up to him. I love you and I know you've got a big flock. But you better be careful. And y'all know his name. I'm not going to mention his name. I'm not here to ridicule or talk to anybody. And then these things, there's another one out here with Grants. You better be careful. Amen. They offer the Grants, but after you do it, it's their ministry. They pay you. You don't get it.
That's right.
You better be aware. You better listen what the Spirit is saying. I'm not talking about anybody this morning, but I want you to know, you better know the Spirit of the Lord. And if you don't know the Spirit of the Lord, you'll sign anything and do anything. Come on. People don't care. I know a lot of ministers, wonderful women and men of God. They love the Lord. They love the Lord. And you know, they're not recognized. And you know, I don't know if I'll ever be recognized. I'm not looking to be recognized. Because if you're in ministry and you want to be seen, when are the stars out, people?
That's right.
You'll probably never be recognized. Amen? But it's not. Let me tell you something. But when you have the Lord on your side and you watch them other people fall into a ditch, come on. Just because you serve the Lord doesn't mean your lights won't get cut off, people.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
You say what? Just because you serve the Lord doesn't mean your car might not get repossessed either.
Yeah.
But the Lord told me. Yeah. But if you stay in that holy place, He will give you direction. Amen. How many know this is good this morning?
Amen.
This is good. This ain't bad and bad, people. This is an awakening of the Spirit. Because see, we walk around and we're sleeping most of the time.
Amen.
We're not aware. And the reason why we're not aware, we're accepting the acceptance of what we've heard,
Let me just give you an example real quick, and I'll try to come to a close real shortly. If the Lord has spoken something to you, you're usually on fire with what the Lord says. Amen?
Yes.
You pick up the phone and you call one person that doesn't agree with what you're saying. And if you haven't been praying and you're kind of still growing in the things of God, you know, and even people that's mature and unmature in the Lord.
That's right.
They start second guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know, maybe that's not right, you know.
Yep.
So let's look at something real quick. Emotions. What is emotion? It's a natural state of the mind deriving from one circumstances, mood, or relationship with what? With what? With others. What did I say before? We drink of each other's spirit.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
And if we drink of each other's spirit and somebody comes along, well, you know, Brother Frank, I don't know if that's, you know, I don't really believe that. You know, you need to go pray some more. What I have to do, now this is me. What I do, if you came in my house right now, I think Brother Ronnie's been in there. On my wall, I have index cards pinned up in my kitchen, my bathroom, my hall. I don't care how pretty it looks. You know, them women really rearrange them things. You know, that's okay too. Just make sure you leave it so I can see it. Why do I do that? To remind myself. Because I know, regardless of situations, whatever the Lord has told me will come to pass. I didn't say might come to pass. I said will come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
It will come to pass.
Yes, it will.
I've been in a lot of several different situations. They told me I'd never walk again. I had surgery on May 29th of 1997. They opened me up and they said, there's nothing we can do for you. I got where I couldn't even get around, in the wheelchair, rolling, trying to get myself going. So I decided, well, let's go ahead and have the surgery. Didn't want to do it. Didn't like it. A lot of people don't know. Now, I don't think I've ever told this testimony in here before. And it was a very, very painful place to be. Lost everything I'd ever owned. Everything was gone. And I was up there, and they told me, they said, you'll never be able to jog again. You probably won't never walk again. After we do this surgery, you probably won't have no feelings in your legs. You know, you'll be able to move from the waist up, but there's nothing we can do for you. We're going to try. So they opened me up and they got in there and they said, everything in there is mashed up like toothpaste. He said, everything grows a centimeter every 7 years and yours will never grow every 7 years. Yours will never expand. So I thought, well, okay, Lord, let's do this. It was in there 12 hours on me. They tried everything they possibly could. When I got back out of surgery, it felt like anybody's ever had gas on you, till you feel it radiating on your arm. That's how my legs felt all the way down. I just felt like, you know, well, that's it. I'm done with. I come in there. After the surgery, my organs started shutting down, starting from my pancreas didn't work right. My kidneys were shutting down. And they told me I probably wouldn't be making it. So I got on the phone. I started calling people. They come in there and gave me 5 catheters. They are not fun. They told me if they come in there one more time, they're going to put a bag on the side of me and I'd have it there the rest of my life. And I went to pray. And I took my little black address book I had beside me. And I got on the phone, and I started calling. I got on there with Sister Linda, and I told Sister Linda, I said, Sister Linda, I can't pee. I was in so much pain. If that bothers you, I'm sorry. But I was in so much pain. And as soon as I hung up the phone,
where they had done the surgery on me, my back had collapsed in. My back was sunk in like that. And they had put layers and layers and layers of strips, because it's just like it just sucked in when they done the surgery on me. But I didn't even realize that I had gotten up out of the bed and went to the bathroom and peed. And I had called. Prayer changes things.
Yes, it
will.
And the doc come in there the next morning. They gave me stuff I was allergic to, and I told them I can't take codeine, you know. And they said, well, we're giving it to you anyhow. You know, you can't tell the nurses nothing. They just plopped them in there. And here I am after the surgery, just, you know, mess. It's a mess. And I said, please call them, see if we can get this reversed. But the next morning, he told me, he said, if you can get your clothes on by yourself, you can go home. So when he left, I went over there and put my clothes on. I was in pain. And I could scoot myself over my butt over on that wheelchair, and I said, I'm ready to go home. Doc come in there, and he said, well, if you won't go home, I'm going to send you home. And I went home. I should have stayed in the hospital, really. Let myself heal. So I was pretty much almost bedridden in 1997. But the Lord healed me. And then I started having problems with my knee. About 3 years ago, I was on a cane where I couldn't hardly walk. I mean, it was so painful, I was just dragging my leg around. And I went to a prayer service up here in Jasper, a woman and man down from Tennessee. And they prayed, they stopped right in the middle of the service. They said, there's somebody in here that's in a lot of pain with their knee. And I didn't hesitate. I got up. I didn't feel nothing. I was still the same when I walked out of there. But you know what I said? They said, the Lord said I was healed. I got my index cards and I pinned them up all over my house. The Lord said my knee was healed.
Amen.
And everybody said, well, I went down and seen one of the orthopedics down in there, and he said, well, you know, you might have cancer. And I said, I might. He said, we got to do some more x-rays. And they done the x-rays, come back, said, well, it looks like it could be. We need to do one more. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going home. So be it. If the Lord can't heal me, and I'm not telling anybody to do this, but I said, Lord, if you can't heal me, then take me home.
Come on.
If I'm going to be like this the rest of my life, just take me home. It's a short way to glory. Because I'm not going to take any radiation. I'm not going to take any pills. I don't care who tells me. I'll just let it go. Well, I'm back up walking again. 3 years ago, they diagnosed me with my right eye with glaucoma and told me I was going blind. Let me tell you something. Just because you serve the Lord, people, doesn't mean that you ain't going to go through some stuff.
Right.
Because let me tell you something. If you don't go through nothing, then you don't know nothing.
Amen. Come on.
That's right.
7 years ago, I went through a divorce. My wife left me. Me and my son left us both there with nothing. I had nothing. But if I hadn't known the Lord, I'd just throw my hands up, went down to the beer joint, called somebody, and done a little few more stuff.
Amen.
Ain't nobody been there.
Preach it.
Come on.
Real. I lived right next door to her, watched her hold the hands of that man. Let me tell you something. It wasn't very pleasant. The Lord got me through. I had nothing. I had a piece of land, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to go up here to Jasper and go look at the, I looked at that mobile home. I had no money. I had the land. I had no money, people. I needed $6,500 down. I needed $1,000 just to buy the contents in the mobile home, you know, linen and sheets and all kinds of stuff. Didn't have none of that. I needed $2,000 just to build the decks on the east side and run the power and the septic line in. I had the septic tank there. I needed $500 for the permit. I needed $6,500 to put down on. I had nothing.
The Lord said, go back up there. I went back up there. They wrote me out the check for $500, wrote off the $6,500, gave me $2,000 at closing, and somebody sent me $1,000 in the mail.
Yeah.
And sent me help to build the deck.
God.
And I could have left, people. I could have quit. I could have gave up.
Come on. Come on.
And then after that, 3 years ago, they diagnosed me with glaucoma in my eye and told me I was going blind. And I could already tell it was closing up. I could barely see just a shadow. And I went to bed that night, 3 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping in a fetal position. Angel Lord came in my room. And it didn't light up. I'd say he's every bit of 7 feet tall. His hair went all the way down the back side of him. Real thin hair. About like yours. It was real thin. Straight thin. Some of it was kind of wavy though, the way it looked. He didn't speak a word to me, and I turned over. He placed his hand on the left eye, and I was like, you know, it's the right eye I need to be healed, not the left one. You know? Oh, I know how to describe this. If your arm's ever been asleep, how it tangles real bad.
Yeah.
That's how both my eyes was doing. It was scaring me. I was getting a little upset about it. You know, I was getting panicky. And he tapped me on my elbow, turned, and walked out my door. And when I seen him walk out my door, I seen him bend over like that, get up, because my door's way up there. It's taller than this. It's about as tall as that right there. And I would say at least he was 7 feet tall. As soon as I seen him walk out that door, it's as if somebody came in there with a tea pitcher of water and poured all over my face, because I had to hang my head over because it was just dripping. I mean, puddles, not little drips. I'm talking about those puddles like you got out of the shower following me where I was going to go get clean a toilet paper out of my bathroom. And I'd dry my eyes out and squeeze it and it'd run all the way down my hands. Just quick and fine, I come to my senses, I run back in there and see where he went. And a lot of people think I'm crazy, but I sleep with a rope in the bed now. He comes back again.
You gonna rope him?
He ain't leaving. He said, I'm going with him. That's when things gonna be fixed. Y'all laughing about it. Y'all come see my bed. The trouble is that we rather believe the ways of the world than we'd rather believe the ways of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
I'm coming to a close. I'm trying to build y'all's faith up to believe.
Thank you. Amen.
That God is real.
Yes.
We don't think He's real because we're still doing our own thing.
Yes.
We had rather believe
big God. Amen. Awesome.
We don't think the Lord can help us in our situation. So we go out and we help Him. Amen. Does anybody need prayer this morning before I close out?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What do you need, sister? Hallelujah. You need strength. Hallelujah. You've really gone through a lot of things here just in the past couple of weeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord says, stand strong. I'm going to move. Hallelujah. There's a situation you've been asking the Lord to move in, and some things, and it's a serious thing. And I just see you trying to believe. You're trying to believe, you know, in this. And the Lord said, I'm going to bring you through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most God. Even though the road has been rough, and many have pointed their fingers at you and said that you'll never make it, but you've held on to the Lord, and the Lord said, since you have held on to me, there's the anointing. Woo! I am going to show you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bring you out of this. Forget those things that are in the past. This is a new day for you, sister. This morning was for you. Go ahead and rejoice. Hallelujah. You've been one of those that people have given up on, thrown away. Hallelujah.
And you've told people some things about different situations, and nobody even really believed you. Matter of fact, they mocked you. And the Lord said, that's why I was speaking this morning. Don't tell everybody everything the Lord tells you, sister. I know you want to, you want to rejoice in it, but the Lord said, don't cast your pearls before the swine, because people don't believe everything. Amen? They'd rather believe in the bad report than believe what God's doing. Amen? Somebody, who else raised their hand? I'm sorry. Sister, the Lord's going to help you. You've been seeking some things from Him. Hallelujah. And just come up here. Let me just pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just see you walking and you're taking small steps and you're just waiting on the Lord. And you won't move until He tells you what to do. Hallelujah. And I just see things opening up to you more clearly than what's been in the past. Amen. It's been kind of hard to do, you know, starting out with different situations and things. But I just see the Lord just opening up and broadening the way out for you. Hallelujah. And, you know, the Lord is going to give you the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. I don't know if you know what that gift is or not, but it's in Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Amen. Because the Lord has been showing you guys about different people and different situations. Amen. It's kind of like bits and pieces and you're like, oh, I don't know about that, you know. But the Lord wants to teach you on how to use that gift. Amen. If you come here, Brother Ronnie and his wife here, Sister Penny, Pastor Penny and Pastor Ronnie, let them teach you. Amen. Because this is a whole new thing. Amen. And you talk to some people sometimes out here in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And they kind of like that. And then it happened and it's all for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you manage for somewhere?
No.
Oh, you're going to. Hallelujah. You're going to help some people because of the things you've been down, the happenings you've been down. Amen. You are a teacher. Hallelujah. And you're not just a teacher. You're a teacher of the Spirit. Because you hear. Amen. Who else does he need to say? Hallelujah. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but look towards me, saith the Lord, and I will show you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you myself to you. I'm going to prove to you who I am, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. It's like you're trying to move on with the face of the Lord, but it's like there's things behind you. You're trying to let loose. It's hard for you. It's like you'll let loose of them, and then they'll attach themselves to you again. You'll let loose of them, and they'll come right back at you. Out of a thunder of a high fire. And I'm going to tell you something. You are delivered. Out of a thunder of a high fire. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Even when you were 17 years old, the Spirit of the Lord was upon you at a time, at a place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, you had a visitation. Hallelujah, you didn't know exactly what it was. But the Lord was upon you, even at 17. And even when you hit 21, out of a son, you was going to church and some things happened. Out of a son, it veered you away. But the Lord has never kept his hand off of the sister. Out of a son, hallelujah. Don't turn back and don't look to the left and don't look to the right, sister. Don't tell people everything the Lord's telling you to do. You know, sometimes you just can't do that.
Yep.
You know? And that's instruction. That's not being ugly. That's what the Word says. I've been preaching on in Psalms 40, where David said, and I waited on the Lord. And the Bible plainly states, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Because not everybody believes in everything that you're doing. Now, in fact, they will mark you for it and laugh at you. Amen?
Yes.
Who else needs prayer? Was somebody else?
All right. I didn't mean to. I was trying to about being led by the Spirit.
No, okay.
What you mean?
Excuse me. I just want to know what God has for me.
Amen. You know. Amen. Well, right now, He's teaching me.
Oh, did I throw a ball?
Okay. He's teaching you how to listen to the Spirit, and it's going to change your whole life.
Okay.
Hallelujah. As you allow Him, amen, and notice I said allow.
Yeah.
Amen. And the flesh man is weak. It's always weak. Amen.
Yeah.
It always wants to do other things. Amen.
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord is going to bring deliverance in your life.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring, you're going to help a lot of people that's been through what you've been through.
Yeah.
But even at an early age, some things happen to you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that. I have to tell you, but
yeah.
I'm not going to say what it is.
Yeah.
There was a man.
Yeah.
And I'll say that right there. We'll leave that there. You know, at a young age.
Okay.
And some things kind of change a different way for you.
Okay.
But the Lord is going to help you.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
It's not about the past. It's about now.
Yeah.
Amen. So the Lord is teaching you. You're able to hear what He's saying.
Yeah.
Amen. Just like we talked about this morning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Can you, this is for all of us, well, can you teach us how to pray? Because I pray, but it's just, it's hard to tell if God listens, but you know what I'm saying. You know,
when I first started out, I told the Lord this. I said, Lord, I don't even know if you exist.
Exactly.
I did.
Exactly.
I was up there going to a church, lifting my hands, oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, and I did. Anybody with me this morning? You know, am I the only one?
Yeah.
And I would ask the Lord, I would say this, Lord, I want to know if you exist.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I just talking to the walls?
Yeah.
Am I just blowing hot air? Or am I just by myself? If I'm by myself, leave me alone. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's what I told you. But I did pray this. I said, Lord, if you exist, I want everything you got.
Yeah.
I don't care how a man thinks about it. I don't care how they feel about it. Change is coming for you, sister.
Oh.
Things is getting ready to move out of the way. There's some things right now that's stuck. But I see the Lord is pushing that thing out of the way and moving you forward. But I began to pray. And I began to seek, you know, I began to say, Lord, I want everything you've got for me. I don't care how a man thinks about it, how they feel about it, or anything. I want you.
Yeah.
Everything you've got. And when I would go and pray, when I first started praying, I would sing to it. And couldn't hold a tune in a bucket. But it's all about your heart. Amen?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. When I would go to work, I would be so oppressed, people. Maybe y'all haven't been where I've been. But I remember being on Sandtown Road and Villarica Highway. It used to be a stop sign out there. They've made a roundabout right there now. And I remember pulling in that stop sign. And I pulled over to the right side of the road. I would cry. Be so oppressed all the time. I'd go in and put on a happy face, go out in the car and cry. I could never get ahead. Never had enough money to get ahead with. Even if I couldn't work enough with my education to get ahead. I mean, it's been there. You know, if you've got it, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You know, just pay your bills. You know, I've never been that fortunate. You know, wish I had. But when I would go before the Lord, it didn't happen all at one time. But I would begin to sing to Him and tell Him, Lord, I love you, Lord. And I would say it over and over and over. I love you. I want you in my life. I don't know how to obtain what you got. Lord, I don't know what is it that you can help me with. I don't even know if you can even help me. But you know, I live in people's lives. I figured I'd be the least one anybody would want. I mean, it's tough that way. I'm the reject of the reject.
Mm-hmm.
You ever try to get it fit in with the reject and they reject you?
Yeah, I've been there.
Even the people you thought that would receive you, they still reject it. Amen. But I would begin to pray, and I would begin, and after a little while, I began to lift up my hands. And you know, I found something out about the Lord. When I lift up my hands and I tell Him how much I love Him, the Spirit of Him would just push all up and down me. And it would go from breast to breast to people all in there.
and they would feel the Spirit of the Lord when I was in the place. Nothing that I did. But you know, there's a difference. There's a difference when you've been through something and you ain't been through nothing. If you ain't been, when you've been through something, you know He's your supplier. I remember one time years ago, I made $88 a week. I worked at Kroger years ago, down Highway 5. Not Highway 5, that was Dallas Highway. And you know, I only made $100 a week. But they were tipping me, and I was one in courtesy class. And then women, when I'd go out there, they'd throw out $20 bills for putting them in the trunk for them. You know, some of them do Cadillacs. I've never had a Cadillac. I was like, bam! Oh, don't do that! You hurt my kid! You know? And I didn't know you had to push it just a little bit and just go down. I thought, can you pop that one more time? I didn't see that thing. I had to see how that thing worked. They thought I was crazy, you know. But I never seen anything. I never had that kind of stuff. You know, never did know what that was. You know. But I only made $100 a week, but in my tips, I made almost $500 a week. And then they got to a place where they stopped tipping and they brought other people in, handicapped people, to work in there. A lot of people don't know they're getting grants for that, so they're getting double dips of our money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's okay. I'll leave that there. But the thing about it is, when you go to the Lord, and you start telling Him how much you love Him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I do. That's why I start out in prayer first. And I'll do this. Oh, you know, this is just my thing. This is just me at home. And I said, oh, Lord, here I am. I need You to talk to me, Father. I need You to tell me what I need to do, Lord. And I'll start pacing the floor. This is what I do at home. Lord, I got to know what You want me to do, Lord. And I'll turn on some music, and I'll just get it going. And if I really want an answer, it's what I do.
Amen.
I gotta know.
Amen.
I don't play around, people. You say that's silly.
Amen.
That's stupid. Well, if it's working for you, don't worry about it.
Amen.
You won't have to get stupid.
Amen.
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 Amen. And I'll start playing some stuff. But then there come a time, I got me a closet.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
At closet, especially made for me. You can't come in.
Amen.
Because I don't think you'll last long. But I know y'all, if you've got one too, I can't come in yours either. But I got me a closet. And when I go in there, I'm in business, and I don't have no radios, and I don't have no lights going on in there. Cell phone ain't on there, and the lights are off, and it's just me and the Lord. Because I don't like to know nothing. I want to know. I want to know what to do. Amen?
Amen.
And when you start praising Him and telling Him, oh, Father, I just thank You, Lord. Start telling Him how much you thank Him. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for all the things, Lord. All the things You've done for me, Father. Lord, taking care of me. Sending me the money that I needed. Sending me showing me where to buy clothes. You know, there was this one time I had $20. I'm coming to close. I really am. I had $20 in my pockets, and I needed clothes. And I went to praying and seeking the Lord. And asking, I said, Lord, I ain't got enough money to buy me any clothes. And the Lord said, go down here at this Kmart. And I went down there to it. And they had a rack down through there, a bunch of clothes, some kind of closeout thing they was having. And there was this baby over here on the third aisle over here. And she was hollering, that little bitty voice, come over here. Come over here. And I was going down through the aisle, and I didn't even pay attention to her. And I thought, my God, I wish they'd shut that baby up. And that baby told her, come over here. Come over here. I'm like, my God, Lord, shut that baby up. And I thought, I better come over there. So I went over there. They had pants down there for $1 a piece.
Wow.
I bought me ten pair of pants and 10 shirts. Woo, glory. I couldn't even went to the Goodwill and got new stuff like that.
Wow.
I know y'all don't shop there. I'm the only one. But y'all done reached the paper. Anyway. But let me tell you something. When you pray, He gives you instructions. Amen? He'll tell you what to do. Amen? But if you don't pray, you don't know. Does anybody else need prayer before I close out? You need prayer? Okay. You was up there last week. What you need this week, sister?
I've been struggling lately with a lot of negative people in my life. And kind of my life. I'm still sober, but it's just been...
You got any music going on at home?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Keep it going. You got anointed that drum?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. A lot of people don't think that that sounds kind of stupid, don't it?
Yeah, but it works.
It does. I anointed mine. I didn't have people come see me for 6 months. You know? But you know, I pray, Lord, if they're not coming here to give me, if they're coming here to talk about everybody, just like my pastor's always told me, if you've got time to talk about somebody, you've got time to pray.
That's right. Amen.
You want to talk about somebody, don't come talk to me, because I'll tell you to go fast and pray.
Yes.
Amen. And then come talk to me about it. But then you're going to tell me what the Lord showed you. I'll pray for you. Lord, just help her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody stretch your hands out towards her.
Oh.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you help her with all this negativity, Lord, all this stuff that's going on in her mind that she's struggling with, Father, Lord. Lord, and I pray a good atmosphere as far as the east to the west and the north to the south. I decree and declare it, Lord, that it be done in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor and all things. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something, sister. The Lord is teaching you some things right
That's
now.
That's right.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what. I see around your neck is a jewel. It's His jewels. Amen. And each one of them, the Lord's placed in there because you're being delivered of each one of those jewels that's being put on that necklace.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody else, before we close out, anybody else? Hallelujah.
The Lord's not going to remove the situation
from
you. The Lord's not going to remove you from the situation. The Lord is going to change your mind.
Amen.
That's what He wants from you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to be able to live in the Spirit, as He's talking, where you are almost in a bubble in that situation, and what you speak is what your situation will be. What you speak, not what anyone else is saying, what you speak. You have to start opening your mouth and speaking the word of God. What is the truth?
Amen.
Regardless of what anyone else says.
Amen.
Be in that bubble. You will not receive anything but the report of the Lord. And you will not believe anything but what the Lord says. When they start talking, you start talking.
Mm-hmm. But I also want to tell you one more thing, too. The Lord reminded me.
Okay.
I know you're trying to move on into the things of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, you're really hungry for things, you know, and you're struggling with a lot of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord, you have a desire to play music, or He's going to give you that desire to play.
Play music?
Yes.
Okay. You asked my question a while back. I wanted to ask you, I know this ain't a question and answer, but I wanted to be like, okay, you said pray and then God will show you the way.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, before you said that, I was like, how can I, like, I need a job, I need a career, you know,
mm-hmm.
I placed that, and I'm not there, I placed that in the box last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go in your footsteps, but what do I do, what direction do I go in? I don't know what to do.
Well, first of all, you need to be around some godly people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Regardless of what's going on in your life, because they're going to love you no matter what.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Because if we could get delivered, we'd done been up at the pulpit and got delivered. We
got
an offer. We could deliver ourselves. We wouldn't even move to the pulpit. We've got delivered.
Yes.
Amen? So it takes time. But the Lord is going to change your life. But the only way that He's going to change your life is through praying. Because each time you pray and ask Him, you may not think that it's doing anything at all. You may
see
anything happening at all. But each time you do, what happens is the void that's in here, you know, the void that's in here, you've been feeling something missing. You can't put your finger on what it is. It's being filled each time because each time you think, when I pray, I feel a little better.
So
each time you pray again, it fills that void up again. Because when you try every stuff, every other thing, there's that void is not filled. That void is still empty.
Yes.
And you feel like that you're not doing anything, or life doesn't have any meaning,
or anything pertaining to the way that you're going. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So when you pray, what happens is this hope rises up in the most bottom part of your stomach.
Yeah.
And rises up and you begin to believe for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have strength then in your bones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in the way things were before.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So you get more strength. You have like a sprain in your step.
Yeah.
And then it kind of fizzles out again.
Yeah.
Just because you stopped praying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah.
So keep praying. Okay, keep
praying.
So does
that help you?
Okay. God, and then listen.
Then listen. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to start playing music. I'm
sure.
Have you desired to do that before?
I have, but I don't know no instrument to play.
You have, but I'm going to tell you something. You was introduced when you were 6 years old.
Really?
And yes. And instead of what I've seen, when you were 6 years old, I've seen there was a keyboard in the spirit, and I don't know if, you know, if I understand what I see in the spirit.
Yeah.
At six, there was a keyboard there, and you desired to play that thing.
Yes.
Remember now?
Yeah. I want to make this about me, but the stuff, I can't remember. I learned the keyboard, but I can't remember nothing else. But
yeah,
I don't want to make this about me.
Right, I'm saying, but you were six.
Yeah.
And you desired to play that thing.
I did. Yes.
Hallelujah. And so, anyway, the Lord, at that time, the Lord had put the anointing on you, but some things happened.
Yes. I can't remember what happened, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that there. That don't matter anymore.
No.
That don't matter anymore.
No.
That's gone.
Oh, amen. God, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Turn it up for anything. Hallelujah. Lord, turn it on, Brother Ron. Come on up, Brother Ron, and help me.
I know he can.
Amen. Thanks for having me,
God.
I appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Frank. And